I just arrived in New York City this afternoon from London, UK. At the immigration counter, the official behind the desk asked me, "How are you?" The commonly asked question. You planning to take some more photos during the class? I prefer if you don't. You can do afterward. I'll smile, I'll grimace, I can do a few poses for you if you like afterwards. But better if we all try to concentrate on hearing and chanting about Krishna. I was talking about the Homeland Security immigration official. What's that got to do with Krishna? Well, what's not got to do with Krishna? One of Srila Prabhupada's great gifts, and actually Krishna himself gives that in Bhagavad Gita, is how to see everything in relationship to Krishna. So, in reply to the question, "How are you?" I said, "Happy to be back in America." And he said, "Happy to have you here." Now, I presume that the reason he thought why I was happy to be in America was not the reason that I was happy to be here. Because devotees of Krishna, or even aspiring devotees of Krishna, have a different outlook or overview of everything. And practically every one of those words, you could analyze it, "happy to be here in America," and see that the devotee's perspective on it is completely different to that of the materialist. The word "happy" for a devotee means to have the opportunity to serve Krishna. The word "happy" for a materialist means to have the opportunity to forget Krishna, to have the opportunity to indulge in sense enjoyment. Happy to be, a devotee's understanding of what "to be" means is quite different from that of what a materialist thinks. For a devotee, "to be" means to, it means to exist, means to serve Krishna. Everything else is meaningless. For materialists, "to be" means I am this body. I am the enjoyer. I am the lord of all that I survey. This is, of course, most people don't think that much. They just say, "How are you?" And it's, they don't really care how you are, but I guess it's better than pulling out a gun and shooting someone dead, but it's not really felt. But it's human social interaction. So, happy to be back in America. And what a patriotic American thinks of America, and what a devotee of Krishna thinks of America, are again quite different. The considering oneself to be a citizen of a particular country is described by Lord Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam, that the consciousness of Bhoma Idyadhi, that my homeland is worshipable, such a consciousness is suitable for a person who is Gokara, which means like no more intelligent than a cow or an ass. So I didn't say this to the man at Homeland Security. It's wise sometimes to exercise some diplomacy, which is another way of saying duplicity. That may be necessary in a strange world in which we live. So while I said that I'm happy to be back in America, my reasons for being happy, I knew that's the kind of response that you're supposed to say, right? You're supposed to say, yeah, doing okay, feeling good, yeah, how are you, and all this kind of thing. But our motivation is quite different. Why should I be happy to be in America? Well, America is the most important country in the world, still. Don't know how much longer. New York is the most important city in America. Would people in Los Angeles agree with that? Prabhupada said it's the most important. We take what he says, not what people in Los Angeles say. So it's the most... It is the most important city in the world, and Srila Prabhupada said that. Now, New Yorkers will be happy to hear that. But when we say it's the most important city in the world, what is this world? It is the world of ignorance. So if we say that New York is the most important country in the world, it means it's the most ignorant place in the world. People in New York pride themselves on being New Yorkers, the whole ethos of New York. But it is, no doubt people are, many people are smart, but what is that smartness? That is the smartness to exist in ignorance. So to be very intelligent in living in ignorance just means that you are the most expertly ignorant. Actually, you're more ignorant than anyone else. And actually, that's a fact. Srila Prabhupada, once when he was walking in Vrindavan with some of his disciples, there was a farmer out early in the morning, working in the field. Working in the field means not inside an massive air-conditioned tractor, but actually standing on the ground. I don't know exactly what work he did. So when he saw Srila Prabhupada walking, he came out of his field and came and bowed down to Srila Prabhupada. Now, at that time, farmers in India were mostly not educated. Now everyone's becoming so-called educated. There's a program to educate everyone, indoctrinate everyone, make them stupid. So Srila Prabhupada pointed out that this person, this uneducated farmer, is more intelligent and knowledgeable than any PhD in the West. Because this farmer, he knows that there is God. He knows to bow down to a saintly person. He knows that I am in this situation due to my previous activities. Whereas the big PhD, for all the swelling in his brain, he doesn't know these things. And he thinks that this life is all in all. He's foolish. He has a degree in advanced ignorance. So, New York is the most important city in the world because it's a good opportunity for preaching Krishna consciousness. It's important in as much as it's highly influential. As Srila Prabhupada said, that all the people all over the world are imitating America. But at the same time, it's nothing to be proud of. Every advertisement testifies to the stupidity of the people. That there are advertisements means that those who make the advertisements, they know that they can manipulate people by putting out some propaganda. That means people are not so smart after all, right? And one poster we saw as we came driving in from the airport, $10,000 reward for giving information about a cop getting shot. Well, if they have to put posters, that means it's common enough. And what standard of civilization is that? I was thinking actually that that might actually encourage more shooting of cops. Right? A couple of people could get a little conspiracy together. One could shoot a cop, and then the other guy goes and reports and gets $10,000. Anyway. So, nothing to be proud of. Now, this may seem an extremely arrogant statement. The whole of New York is going on without caring about this little group here, sitting here. Who cares? How can we claim to be in a superior position to all that's going on out there? This little gathering here isn't going to get reported in the newspaper tomorrow unless someone comes in and starts throwing petrol bombs or something. But just if the course of the meeting goes on, who cares? Yeah, a little group of Hare Krishnas having a little meeting. It's nothing to care about very much. Srila Prabhupada was in the same position, sitting right here and declaring very boldly that what he is saying is correct and the whole of the world is wrong. And the whole of the world didn't care for him. And the whole of the world, it seemed to be right. I mean, everyone, if it's by consensual opinion, then the way of life as it's going on must be right, because everyone is going on with that. Everyone's working, making money, going to movies or whatever, taking their dogs for a walk and all this kind of thing. So life as it is appears to be, as it goes on, that seems to be the real thing. And why should anyone care for Prabhupada, or why should anyone care for us? Well, what is correct is not necessarily what the majority of people consider it to be. And in fact, if we examine what the majority of people are doing, this is what Srila Prabhupada said, this is what the scriptures say, and which anyone who has a little actual intelligence can understand, is that people are living extremely foolish, meaningless lives. We were just discussing now that the whole is all this advancement of so-called advancement of knowledge, in which people study all kinds of different things, and then they award each other different prizes, this Nobel Prize, Pulitzer Prize, Booker Prize, Oscar, all these different kinds of prizes, and they congratulate each other. But for all their advancement of knowledge, they can tell us so many things, they're investigating so many things, but they never ask the right question in the first place. What is the purpose of life? Why are we here? Why is there suffering? They don't even ask why is there suffering. They're busy trying to mitigate it in various ways. But how can suffering be overcome? How can we come to a position of ultimate happiness? These questions people don't ask. And if anyone asks them, they're put in a box called the Buddhist box or the religion box. Religion mostly, not people. Religion's not meant for asking these questions. Religion is a social activity, not for asking these questions. If you ask these questions to most religious people, they won't have answers. And just like this Pope, he came on TV recently, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and he was asked the question, why is there suffering? And his reply, we cannot know. Then why are you a spiritual leader? why take the role? If you're an electrician and you're asked, what's the difference between AC and DC, and alternating current and direct current, has other meanings in the modern world. What's the difference? You say, well, I don't know. Then what kind of an electrician are you? He says, we cannot know, but we can take solace in the example of Christ's suffering. We cannot know, and that includes the whole human race. He should have said, I don't know. But he says that I don't know, therefore no one can know. So, the real question is that all this facade of knowledge and progress and building buildings and sports and organic food and all this kind of thing, it's just a facade. Living healthy life, it's just a big construct to forget the real question. If anyone asks the real question, why is there suffering? How can we be free from suffering? They'll give another question that says, why is there so much suffering? Again, someone else asked the question. A Muslim asked, and they said, well, his reply was, we should become a Christian. Muslims are suffering, Christians are suffering. Just dogmatism. So this religion is also part of the cheating by which people forget the real purpose of life. Srila Prabhupada was sitting here pointing that out. But not in a dogmatic way. This point should be understood very clearly if we're going to be devotees of Krishna. Because Krishna, he doesn't ask us to join a religion, convert to being a Hindu, or convert to being a Hare Krishna. He asks Arjuna to hear what he has to say, to listen what he has to say, and understand with his intelligence. Now it's a very different proposition to believe or burn. Believe in this, that, or the other, or burn in hell forever. But Krishna doesn't say that. He said, just try to hear and understand. And what does Krishna say? He points out, janma mrityu jaravyadhi dukha doshanu darshanam. One should see that birth, death, old age and disease are miserable. It goes on all around us, all the time. But we're caught up in this phantasmagoria of enjoying the senses, enjoying the world, and therefore we see it, but we don't see. So Krishna points this out. This sense enjoyment, enjoying the eating, sexual contact, seeing different things, hearing different music. It's just a covering over the pure knowledge of the soul, which is to understand that we are eternal living beings, we have our eternal relationship with Krishna, we're meant for eternal happiness in the service of Krishna. Now there are many supposed to be spiritual people. They're very spiritual, supposedly. And they may talk about these things, about how you have to become detached from the world. But this point of service to Krishna, they won't like that. They'll talk about detachment, enlightenment, that's a popular word. But service to Krishna, they don't like that. That we are eternally servants of Krishna. But again, Srila Prabhupada would point out, this is not a dogmatic religion, that we are all servants. We cannot avoid the fact that we are servants. This is perhaps the most unpleasant thing for anyone in this world to hear. Especially in the modern age, everyone thinks that, I'm on top of I'm on top of everything. I'm okay. I'm doing my own thing. I'm an individual. No one can tell me anything. But the fact is that we are all servants. We are all controlled. We will say, well, I'm not controlled, I'm free, but we are controlled. We can't stop growing old. We're controlled by time. If we get a runny nose, what are you going to do? Well, you can maybe take some pill. But you can't stop even getting a cold. You can't stay. If you go in the sun now, you'll get maybe get heat stroke or sunburn. You can't control it. We're not the controller. To admit that I am not the controller, I am controlled. I am eternally subordinate. I'm tiny. I'm insignificant. This is very painful for most people to hear, especially in New York, because there's this sense of being on top and doing your own thing. That again shows it's the capital of ignorance. The uneducated farmer in India can bow down to a saintly person, put his head on the ground and bow down. That is a sign of being, at least being ready to receive knowledge, spiritual knowledge. The beginning of knowledge is bowing down. Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva. Naman means literally to bow down and put your head on the ground. The beginning of knowledge is to give up one's own independent sense that I can acquire knowledge by myself. And just accept, I'm so tiny, I'm so small, that if I am to gain knowledge, that has to be by the mercy of others. I have to receive it from others. How much can I know by myself? So, yeah, should be happy to be in America too. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas, be in this atmosphere of ignorance and attempting to give the real knowledge by which people can become happy. This is real knowledge. As I've many times said, that the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam gives more actual knowledge of the Supreme Reality than all, you put all the religions together. And put together what they, everything that they actually know. And the first verse of Bhagavatam gives far, far more. What is the nature? That there is God, the Supreme Person. What is His nature? What is His name? The material world and the spiritual world. So many points are there. Janmadyasya yataha. The Supreme, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. First of all, delineating the reality, Vasudeva means He who resides everywhere, who is all-pervading. And it also means the son of Vasudeva, Krishna. So immediately, He who is all-pervading and who is the Supreme Person also, which seems like a contradiction. And it is. From our perspective, but that's the whole point. Our perspective is extremely limited. We don't know anything of any value. Our perspective is necessarily incomplete and imperfect. Therefore, we should hear and imbibe the perspective given by those who can actually see and understand. Janmadyasya yataha. From whom everything comes, in whom everything exists, into whom everything ultimately enters. That's pretty big, isn't it? That's a big concept, yeah, everything. The whole, everything material and spiritual rests on Him. So I mean, even in the first few words, there's more knowledge of the Supreme Reality than all the vague ideas that are floated around elsewhere. So, it may seem that this is is not very important, what's going on here. But actually, this is important, and whatever else is going on out there, that's not important, because that's just thrashing around in ignorance. Like the fish, if you take the fish out of water, you'll see it's thrashing around, struggling, shocked, because this fish could never imagine being taken out of water. A horrible experience for him. It's beyond his imagination. He only knew what it's like to live in water and never imagined that there could be any other situation. All of a sudden he's outside the water, can't breathe. It's a horrible situation for him. So people are thrashing in ignorance. And there is some sense, sensual pleasure gives us some sense of euphoria. But that is also that sensual pleasure, that is the enemy of the conditioned soul. Because it makes him feel as if something important is going on in my life, something real is going on in my life. I'm really experiencing something of value. But that experience is his enemy, because the attempt to gain sensual pleasure that obstructs or one's the actual desire of the soul, which is to seek knowledge of what is my eternal position. Everyone desires to be eternal. No one desires to die. Who thinks about this? Who's discussing this in your universities? Big intellectuals. So many discussions going on. Israel-Palestine discussion, and Amazonian rainforest discussion, and what other? Terrorism discussion. Storms in southern United States. So many discussions are going on. But how to get free from all suffering? How to live eternally? How to experience bliss eternally? No one's even thinking of such things. But that is the desire of everyone. That is possible only in Krishna consciousness. If we examine, I'm not going to give a whole thesis of that you should know. The principles are not difficult to understand, nothing difficult to understand. One should try to understand it. It's not sectarian religion. What is the difference between the soul and the body? That we are controlled, there is God, the supreme controller, we are eternally subordinate to him. He is kind, he is loving, he is beautiful, satyam, shivam, sundaram. He is the eternal truth, all auspicious, all beautiful. So all these points are described in the Vedic literature. And Srila Prabhupada is sitting here convinced, because he has seen Krishna. Tattvadarshi, seeing Krishna. And wants to give Krishna to others. So it may seem that this is only a small group, not very important. But actually, where there is discussion of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam by devotional principles, that is an important place. And everything else, ephemeral. There have been so many great big kingdoms, big empires, not only on this planet, on other planets also. They all come and go. But Krishna stays. Krishna is always the supreme. What we do on this sphere is ultimately of very little import. There have been so many great kingdoms in America, even before Columbus set his august feet on this soil. Now, who knows? Who cares about that? All gone. But Krishna always Ananda chinmaya rasatmate matayamana surya praninam pratipalan smaratam upeti lilayatena bhuvanani jayatya jasram govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Krishna rules over everything in a different way, not by power, might, force or bravado, but by his super excellent, beautiful, mind-enchanting pastimes. Krishna rules over everything. And this whole material world is simply a perverted reflection of Krishna's enjoyable pastimes. People trying to enjoy without Krishna and necessarily failing all the time. We cannot be happy without Krishna. Very simple principle. Krishna is always happy. If we're with Krishna, we're always happy. Krishna is inviting us. If we're not with Krishna, we cannot be happy. Just like the fish out of water. Whatever you do to a fish, you can, whatever you offer him, some designer sunglasses or whatever, he can't be happy. His natural position is in the water. So our natural position is with Krishna. And everything else, whatever else we do, it is doomed to destruction and unhappiness due to being in our unnatural situation. So this is our proposition. You're all regular visitors here. So please keep on coming. Hear regularly about Krishna. Chant every day the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on beads. Associate with devotees. Now, these may seem like very ordinary principles, almost too simple to be true, but they're very powerful, and we see in one sense how powerful they are, that what happens to those who follow them and then stop following them. Just as I was driving to Heathrow Airport in London this morning, I was speaking with a devotee who joined the movement in 1977. We were speaking about some of the older devotees in Britain, how some of them had at least temporarily floated away from Krishna consciousness. So this devotee said to me that from this he can understand the even though these devotees had association with Prabhupada, they'd been leaders, but they'd floated away, because this devotee said they hadn't followed the basic principles, that we always have to be in association with devotees, we have to regularly hear and chant about Krishna in the association of devotees, we have to read Srila Prabhupada's books, we have to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on our beads. Srila Prabhupada emphasized these things again and again and again. And we can see that if we do that, we remain strong in Krishna consciousness. Very simple processes, and it may seem that, well, what does it matter? It doesn't matter if I just don't do that for some time. But if we don't, then we get sucked into this world that I'm pointing out there, which seems real. Everyone out there is convinced. I mean, they don't think about it philosophically, but they're convinced that this is what life's all about. Everyone else is doing it. The power of social acclimatization is so strong that everyone thinks that, yeah, live your life, drive around, earn some money, and live in an apartment, and go on with life. But no Krishna. And everyone thinks that's normal, but it's insane. It's a meaningless life without Krishna. Those who have come to Krishna consciousness can appreciate that. But if we don't daily keep up with this process, then gradually our link with Krishna becomes weak, and we start to think that the material world is valuable, real, desirable. Even though we've come to Krishna consciousness because of the realization that the material life is meaningless, undesirable, cheating, top to bottom, back to front, inside out. It's just all, people are talking nonsense and cheating us. The educational system, the advertisements, the TV, the parents, everyone, it's a mutual cheating game. How to forget Krishna. We come to Krishna consciousness, but Maya is so strong if we don't keep up these regular practices. So we should be immersed, that is our aim, to be immersed in Krishna consciousness. Manmana bhava mad bhakto. Always think of me and become my devotee. Be immersed in Krishna. That means studying Srila Prabhupada's books, accepting the perspective given therein. Now if we don't do that, if we don't see through the eyes of Shastra, as given by Srila Prabhupada, then we're going to see through someone else's eyes. We're not such great people that we're independent thinkers. Independently we can understand everything ourselves. We may think like that, but it's not a fact. We're all conditioned by other people's experiences and perspectives. So as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, we should find out who is a perfect person and take guidance from them. So everyone in this world is imperfect. Brahma pramad vipralipsa karana patav. Everyone has the defects of making mistakes, being an illusion, having the cheating propensity, and having imperfect senses. So we should hear from pure devotees. We should hear from Srila Prabhupada. Now, as I just said, that Srila Prabhupada and Krishna and Bhagavad Gita give us the perspective by which we can see the material world. It's not that we become totally detached from it. In one sense, yes. But in another sense, it's not that we just leave the world and go and sit on top of a mountain. But we live in the world, but we see everything in relationship to Krishna. But if we, for that purpose, for living in this world, we may, or we should, if we're going to be devotees of Krishna in the modern world, should have some knowledge of what's going on in it, so as to represent Krishna to people who are knowledgeable about this illusion. They know a lot about this illusion called the modern world. So we should know at least some basic things about it, so as to give people a Krishna conscious perspective on it. But if we become too much absorbed and we're reading so many things and taking information so much from the non-devotees instead of hearing from Srila Prabhupada, who is Krishna's emissary to this world, just as Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, so Srila Prabhupada spoke Bhagavad Gita to all of us, so that we can understand the reality of Krishna. So unless we hear from Srila Prabhupada, unless we study his books, we may study so many other things, but that will give us a different perspective instead of the clear perspective of understanding our position as eternal spirit souls, as eternal servants of Krishna. So that's a thought, that Srila Prabhupada came here and started this movement so many years ago. And what he said is eternal truth. What he said is as true today as it was then. It's as true today as it was thousands of years and millions of years ago. But we have to remain clocked in, clued in to that truth by continuous contact with it. Otherwise, if we're not contacting the reality that we can understand by hearing from Srila Prabhupada, from Krishna, from Bhagavad Gita, then we're going to be clued into that so-called reality. Because the mind and the senses are always active. So unless we're taking input from the spiritual source by which we can see things actually as they are, then we'll be taking input from the material source, and then our consciousness will become polluted. So we should be very careful to always remain in spiritual consciousness, in Krishna consciousness, by always hearing about Krishna from Srila Prabhupada, by following the process of Krishna consciousness, and don't take this material world as real. Don't think that this is actually important. Krishna is important. Don't become so much absorbed in the various perspectives and philosophies and outlooks and political ups and downs and ins and outs. Be tuned into the eternality, the reality of Krishna. Everything in this world is insignificant and temporary. Krishna is significant and eternal. Our relationship with Krishna is meaningful and eternal. Hare Krishna. That much I'll say for now. Unless anyone has any questions, comments, or objections. If you have, you may say no. Then I'll do my photo posing, if you really want. You do. You see, it's photo of Prabhupada. He's not smiling. Grave. Very grave. There are many photos of Prabhupada smiling. They're more popular nowadays. They're the idea that a guru should, or a spiritual person should always smile. But Prabhupada, he didn't follow that stereotype. Why should he follow the stereotype of foolish people who want so-called spiritual leaders to fit what they think their spiritual leader should be like? Smiles, pats you on the head, blesses you, and all this, blesses you to have a happy life in this material world, and then you, like this idea, this Christian idea, you have a happy life in this world, and then just by the mercy of God, whoever that might be, we don't want to really want to know that much, but you go to heaven, wherever that might be, and enjoy yourself eternally. So like that, some Swami comes and he blesses you, and you have a happy life in this world, and without any real effort, you get all spiritual bliss also. But that's not what Prabhupada taught at all. You have to make an effort. You have to surrender to Krishna. You have to give up your material attachments. Otherwise, there's no Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada wasn't a stereotyped holy man. Yeah.
What should we immediately do when we see, let's say, what should I immediately do when I see that I'm getting a little bit engaged, too much engaged in
Maya? What should I do when I see I'm too much engaged in Maya? Chant Hare Krishna, read Srila Prabhupada's books, follow the process of Krishna consciousness. That is the antidote to Maya. Do you read Srila Prabhupada's books?
I could read more.
You could read more. That's true of all of us, isn't it? The whole Krishna conscious process is inoculation against Maya. Yeah, then, anything else? Nothing else. Alright. Alright then, we'll finish there. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. This Tirtha is made by Him, otherwise it's just another building. But by His presence, He has made it a holy place. Tirtha kurvanti tirthani svantasthena gadabrita. Because He carries Krishna in His heart, the pure devotee makes the holy places holy. But Srila Prabhupada didn't only make the holy places holy, He made the unholy places holy. Hare Krishna.